Show on the Head On Radio Network. Always remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. An up and down day on Wall Street today as the Dow Jones declined more than 200 points after the opening bell, only to have stocks rebound afterwards. We'll have the numbers for you near today's close, coming up later in our business block. The Senate has now changed its mind after floating a so-called trial balloon earlier today, and now it won't cut President Bush's budget request for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars by nearly $20 billion. The president has requested $142 billion. To fund the wars. The head of Walter Reed Army Medical Center has lost his job. The two-star general in charge of the medical facility where wounded soldiers are treated was relieved of his command today after recent media revelations of the inadequate treatment the soldiers received. Also, parts of the building are in disrepair. In Afghanistan, the Taliban's military chief gave a rare interview to a British television station and claimed that he regularly communicates with Osama bin Laden. He also said in the spring an army of hundreds of suicide attackers is ready for the Taliban's upcoming offensive against NATO forces. In northern Iraq today, a U.S. Army helicopter made a hard landing. The two crew members aboard were injured. The military reports that the incident was due to a mechanical problem, not enemy fire. Also today in the Anbar province, a car bomb blast killed at least five people. One person was killed in Baghdad today when a bomb went off on a minibus. Iran's president will go to Saudi Arabia for regional talks on the stability in the Middle East. The sectarian fighting in Iraq and Lebanon will also be discussed. The jury is in the seventh day of deliberations in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today. He faces five perjury and obstruction charges in connection with the leak of a CIA officer's name. President Bush made a visit to the Gulf Coast today to survey the region's recovery after Hurricane Katrina struck a year and a half ago. It was his first trip there in 6 months. A tornado hit southern Missouri today. It destroyed businesses and homes, and a 7-year-old girl was killed. Other tornadoes struck Kansas and Alabama. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain told a television audience that he is running for president in 2008. He's expected to formally announce his decision in early April. Historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. has died in Manhattan of a heart attack at age 89. He wrote more than 20 books during his lifetime and served in the Kennedy White House. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
McDonald's has responded to comments made by Britain's Prince Charles earlier this week. He said the hamburger chain should be banned because of its high-fat menu items. The hamburger giant said it was disappointed in his statement, adding that healthier menu choices are now available at its restaurants. The annual survey of auto reliability from Consumer Reports magazine finds that Japanese brands continue to top the list. The 2007 results indicate Toyota and Honda are most reliable, according to survey results compiled from the magazine's 1.3 million subscribers. Ford reports in February its sales in the U.S. were down 13.5%. Daimler Chrysler had a 7.7% drop for the month. However, General Motors reports in February its sales were up 3.4%. The Commerce Department says that in January, personal incomes went up by the largest amount in a year, 1%. Also in January, consumer spending increased by half a percentage point. The government also reports that construction activity dropped in January by 0.8%. That is twice the amount analysts had expected. And 3 weeks after NBC Nightly News slipped to the number two position in the television ratings, the executive producer of the newscast has lost his job. Light sweet crude is trading at $62 even, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 34 points, NASDAQ down 12, S&P 500 down 4. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Friday morning where I am. I think it's probably Thursday evening, more likely, where you are. Welcome to the program, folks. First, I really want to thank Andrew Patterson for a great little conversation yesterday about Eco for the World, the television series, and EcoBuzz.net, the community. And so if you missed that, check out the archive of yesterday's show, and maybe even bug your local broadcaster affiliate that they need to air this program, that they have a full season raring and ready to go. And you can find out more information at ECO4theworld.com. Breaking news this morning. David Hicks has been charged. The U.S. files charges against David Hicks. This is from the Sydney Morning Herald. Australian David Hicks has been charged with material support for terrorism and referred to trial by a special kangaroo court, military commission at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Judge Susan Crawford dismissed a second charge of attempted murder against Hicks after concluding that there was no probable cause to justify it, said Commander Jeffrey Gordon, a Pentagon spokesman. The convening authority referred one charge with two specifications of providing material support for terrorism against Hicks, a non-capital case, the Pentagon said in a statement. Hicks is the first detainee at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to be charged under a new law authorizing special military trials of enemy combatants. The charge followed a direct demand by Australian Prime Minister John Howard for a quick resolution to the Hicks case. Quick resolution. It was only until the polls really got up old Howard's batuski that he finally made a move on this. He was willing to ignore this man's civil rights just to make the Bush regime happy. and you know, this is the whole point of this issue. It's not his guilt or innocence; it's the process. And you know, he should be tried under a civilian court in the United States or here in Australia, where his human rights would be looked after, and he would be able to challenge his accusers. And anyone who's been following the story on these kangaroo military tribunals will understand that, you know, it's a bit of a joke. You know, I mean, we're not allowed to set up kangaroo courts to charge and hang our enemies. Now, in a related story, I had this already lined up before the news came down that he'd been charged. A couple days ago in the Sydney Morning Herald, an Australian judge has come to the conclusion that the treatment of Hicks could be a war crime. And it's he says here, former Family Court Chief Justice Alistair Nicholson said the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister and Attorney General could be charged with war crimes for insisting David Hicks face trial before a U.S. military commission. Mr. Nicholson said the commission was not a properly constituted court and it could not deliver a fair trial to the terrorist suspect. He said war crimes legislation clearly made that an offense on the basis that kangaroo courts should not be established to try a regime's enemies. We are saying it is strongly arguable that they have broken the law, because to counsel or procure a person who is entitled to protection of the Geneva Convention as Hicks, trial of such a person before an illegal tribunal is clearly an offense against the International Criminal Court statute, he told ABC Radio. It's also an offense in Australian law. Mr. Nicholson said that constituted a war crime. It is so defined under the relevant legislation, he said. The Adelaide Board Hicks, 31, has been detained by the U.S. at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba for 5 years after he was picked up in Afghanistan in December 2001. I reckon they wouldn't stand an icicle's chance in hell of actually charging the Prime Minister with this, but you know, I reckon that there's something to be said on that. And, you know, it would be so much better if they just would use a U.S. court, but then again, they wouldn't be able to use evidence received by torture, which, if you speak with any police organization or policemen's union, they'll tell you that information gained via coercion and torture is usually not reliable, because people will say whatever you want to hear to stop the pain. I mean, the whole thing's just unbelievably, you know, kind of, not kind of, it is corrupt. It is corrupt. I find it a little interesting, you know, aiding a terrorist organization. Well, what about all this U.S. funds that's going to Al-Qaeda via Seymour Hersh? Thank you. Mr. Hersh is a hero as far as I'm concerned, because he's had most of things over the last few years nailed. And, I mean, this just screams Iran-Contra all over again. And why did this story from Seymour Hersh seem to just disappear into the vapor? You know, why isn't the mainstream media, well, I mean, we know why, but they should be all over this kind of story. If we have actual U.S. funds supporting the very enemy we're supposedly fighting. You know, welcome to Opposite World, folks. If you didn't realize that's where we are, welcome home. It's Opposite World. Anyway, folks, we're going to take our first break here for the afternoon. We're going to come back and do a whole bunch of green stuff. I've got some got a really, really neat gadget to tell you about when we get back for us computer users, which every one of you listening to this program would be one. So we're going to take this quick break. If you want to get in on the conversation, dial into 1-877-443-2366. or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and we will be back straight after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Well, let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Ratchet and that washboard. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on, Thursday evening, Friday morning, depending on where you are. Now, before we get to the track of the day, I want to cover a couple things. And this one's just too groovy, and I want to find that this is being made for the U.S. market and the Australian market as well. From the Carbon Neutral Company, which is an outfit that helps people do carbon offsetting and improve the efficiency of their daily lives, is offering to the UK, this is very, very cool. It's called an IntelliPlug, the Power Saving Club. And it says here, welcome to the world's first intelligent plug, the power saving device that will revolutionize your home and office. The IntelliPlug looks like a standard three-way extension block. You plug in your PC into the master socket, and when you turn it off, it also turns off the equipment plugged into the two slave sockets, either directly or via extension. The energy saving trust is so impressed that they have added it to their list of recommended energy saving products. IntelliPlug is designed to power down all devices such as monitors, printers, and speakers audio when a master desktop PC is switched off. It so simple delivers a significant reduction in your electric power use and therefore your fuel bills. It is ideal both and for the home where children often have game consoles and subwoofers that never get switched off. It's quite cool. The price on the unit here is about £17, you know, British pounds. So, what would you be talking about? $30 US? Be talking probably about 45 Australian. So, it's a brilliant little device. Very simple, and it obviously goes off of just the power draw going through the master plug, and then when the power draw actually drops to below a minimum level that your PC would be running on, it shuts down the power onto the two auxiliary outlets. I would reckon that this would be how brilliantly simple. On other stuff, and this is great, Gene sent this to me a couple days ago. From ecogeek.org, great website. Check this out, a solar-powered plane. And a manned airplane run by the sun. I just think this is excellent. It says, and they say here, we're geeks for all kinds of cool transportation options, and we're geeks for solar-powered stuff. So a solar-powered plane to go around the world is right up our alley. The Solar Impulse is an experimental solar-powered airplane project under development. Ultimately, the team hopes to be able to fly around the world powered only by solar power. Rather than maintaining a constant level altitude for its flight, the Solar Impulse will capitalize on the daytime solar energy to climb higher elevations and then slowly descend at night. While relying on batteries to maintain forward propulsion, it will climb to nearly 10,000 meters, roughly 33,000 feet during the day, and gradually soar back down to 3,000 meters, roughly 10,000 feet altitude at night. The wingspan for the Solar Impulse is slightly wider than that of the new Airbus A380 double-decker super jumbo, which is about 80 meters, and the Solar Impulse will weigh just 2 tons versus the 560 tons for the A380. The project is presently in the prototype design phase for the project. If all goes according to schedule, the team expects to fly around the world sometime in 2011. It's a very, very cool thing. I totally dig it. I think that's fantastic. We'll have to see how this develops and what information comes down. And if you at EcoGeek, the image is just fantastic. It looks like, remember those balsa wood planes you used to fly as a kid with the rubber band kind of thing? Well, imagine one of those really, really wide, skinny wings, but the wings are nothing but solar panels. It just absolutely outrageous. I think it's fantastic. So good on them, good on them. And you know, the small technology, the IntelliPlug, large technology, solar-powered airplane, you know, good stuff, good stuff. And a little bit later, I've got some, I guess what would fall into consumer advocacy type information for you on a few different things. Found a couple of really, really great lists dealing with cosmetics and also with food, which we'll get to a little bit later. But at the moment, what I'd like to do is talk about today's track of the day. And after all that mudslinging on Al Gore about his energy use and the false representation of his energy use, as far as I can tell, by a so-called think tank, I think this track was just really, really appropriate. One of my favorite bands, a band called Alice in Chains, Lane Staley, rest in peace. Off of their Unplugged album that they did for MTV, which is a great album, and always a showing of a really, really great rock and roll band is whether or not the songs can be stripped back down to just acoustic guitars and things. And this Unplugged album really shows, even though Lane Staley probably wasn't in the best of health at the time, that this was a band that were made up of some, you know, really, really solid musicians and some very, very fine song craft. You know, not just bash, bang, loud metal, but some really nice song craft, great vocal arrangements and things. So, as my response from Al Gore to the pebble dropped in the pond over the last couple of days, Alice in Chains and Got Me Wrong. Roll it, Agnes.
Oh, friend of ours helping us out today, Mr. Scotty Olson on guitar.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I have trouble using that term because down here in Australia, liberal means something completely different. But anyway, you know what I mean. Okay, folks, hold on to your hats and possibly get ready to burn your makeup bag, ladies. ViaCommonDreams.org and the Environmental Working Group. The Environmental Working Group research shows 22% of all cosmetic products may be contaminated with cancer-causing impurity. This came out the 8th of February. Many of the cosmetics industry's chemical safety assessments reveal that common petroleum-based cosmetic ingredients can be contaminated with a cancer-causing impurity called 1,4-dioxane. Studies show that this chemical readily penetrates the skin. EPA classifies it as a probable human carcinogen, and the National Toxicology Program considers it a known animal carcinogen. Although companies can easily remove it from ingredients during manufacture, tests documenting its common presence in products show that they often don't, leaving their customers at risk for potential chronic and widespread exposure to this cancer-causing compound. In a new computerized assessment of ingredients in 15,000 cosmetics and other personal care products, Environmental Working Group researchers found that fully 22% of all products may be contaminated with 1,4-dioxane. Based on its common presence in workhorse detergent-like ingredients that the cosmetic industry uses in a wide array of products. The finding is confirmed with by new product tests finding this cancer-causing chemical in 18 of more than 24 products, including 15 products for babies and children. Our analysis shows that 1,4-dioxane has been present in 50% of all baby soaps and 30% of all body lotions. The potential for contamination with 1,4-dioxane is higher for 11 of 62 products types assessed, which the contaminant could be found in at least one-third and up to 95% of all products. So, here we go. 97% of hair relaxers have this. 82% of hair dyes and bleaching have this. 66% of hair removers have this. 57% of baby soaps, and it goes down. Sunless tanning products, body firming lotions, hormonal creams, facial moisturizers, anti-aging products, body lotion, and around eye creams. When it comes to harmful impurities in cosmetics, 1,4-dioxane is just the tip of the iceberg. Our analysis show that 8% of all products may be contaminated with one or more of the 24 recognized cosmetic impurities that are linked to cancer and other health concerns. Now, there was a statistic that Gail found a couple weeks ago that said the average woman absorbs 2.2 kilos, if I remember this right, of petrol products and chemicals through their face every year. Okay? Is vanity worth all this? And I don't mean to be hard, but I mean seriously. With the way that we see, especially young girls these days, with you know what the media tries to portray as artificial perfection, you know, from you know a very young teenage, you know, stage in life to be pounding this stuff onto your face day after day after day after day, and just you know, I've always been suspicious of coloring agents. Just because I did work in the paint industry for a while, and I saw how many of the same chemicals that we used in paint were in hair color, and paint is not something one would digest. And they recommend you wear gloves and things when you use these types of paints, but yet you're supposed to apply this stuff directly to one's scalp. I don't see how you can logically say that it's safe in one instance but not safe in the other. If it's not safe, it's not safe. Now, on another similar thing, from epicurious.com, epicurious.com, there's a story on how to eat fewer pesticides. And this, oh, before I go on, The environmental research group that did the work on the cosmetics, if you go to their site at ewg.org, they have an interactive product safety guide where you can actually go in and find out what products are safe and which ones are not for products released in the United States. So if you want to find out more, you can actually go through the little automated system there and really get some detailed information. So moving on to where I was going, at epicurious.com, which is a food site, they have a thing on how to eat fewer pesticides. And I think that this is fantastic. You know, if you're trying to buy organic and trying to buy local and all these other things, it can get kind of difficult because in a lot of situations your organic foods are going to be more expensive. So being able to round down where you could be smarter with your purchases could be extremely helpful. You know, if you know what the worst offenders are, you then can look to those first for getting your organic content, and then maybe your more commercially produced stuff that isn't so bad, you know, so on and so forth. So from the story here, it says, next time you're at the supermarket debating whether to pay more for a pint of organic strawberries than you do for your lunch, or deciding if you should choose that wilted organic celery over the crisp green conventional stalks, you might want to refer to the Environmental Working Group, same outfit, new wallet-sized shopper's guide. The not-for-profit group lists the Dirty Dozen, the 12 fruits and veggies that are the most contaminated with pesticides, and the cleanest 12, those that generally have the lowest amount of pesticides. There have been some ratings revisions since the last guide came out in October 2003. For instance, carrots are off the bad list now, but lettuce is on. Cauliflower has fallen from grace, but cabbage has made the cut and is now on the good list. So here's the full list. The Dirty Dozen, starting with the worst. Peaches, apples, sweet bell peppers, celery, nectarines, strawberries, cherries, pears, imported grapes, spinach, lettuce, and potatoes. And the cleanest 12, starting with the best, are onions, avocados, frozen sweet corn, pineapples, mangoes, asparagus, sweet peas, frozen ones, kiwi fruit, bananas, cabbage, broccoli, and papaya. To come up with its rankings, the Environmental Working Group looked at the results of close to 43,000 tests for pesticides on produce by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. A computer analysis by the EWG found that consumers could reduce their pesticide exposure by nearly 90% by avoiding the most contaminated fruits and vegetables and eating the least contaminated instead. People who eat the Dirty Dozen will be exposed to an average of 15 different pesticides per day, said Richard Wiles, executive director of the Environmental Working Group, while eating from the cleanest 12 means you'll be exposed to less than 2 pesticides per day. So if produce from the Dirty Dozen is on your menu, it makes sense from a health standpoint to choose organic. Of course, health concerns aren't the only reason people choose organic foods. It takes an enormous amount of fuel to make synthetic fertilizers, explains Wiles. Conventional agriculture is very energy inefficient. On the other hand, costly and polluting fuel is required to transport both conventional organic fruits and vegetables from farms to grocery stores. Produce is often shipped to the U.S. from as far away as New Zealand. So does this mean you're better off eating a locally grown non-organic apple than an organic one from the other side of the world? Perhaps the solution, Will says, is to encourage local farmers to start growing organic crops. For example, begin by asking farmers whether they used pesticides on their apples, Wills advises. The more the local production can be moved towards organic, the better, he says. And this, I'm fully behind this. And so just both of these things from the Environmental Work Group. So you can check all this out at EWG.org. And like I said, you can also check out this interactive product safety guide, and there's a whole lot of more information, and the pocket guide of the bad 12 and the good 12 can be downloaded from their site as well, and you can print it up and stick it right in your wallet, your pocketbook, your purse, your shopping trolley if you're like me and will walk to the shops. This is really, really good, handy kind of stuff to have, because an informed consumer stands a better chance at buying better products. So, good on them. Good on them, good on them, good on them. And, you know, the whole cosmetics thing just really reaffirms some things that I've always wondered, you know. We not only fight foreign wars for oil to fuel our cars and our economies, but, you know, a huge amount of the petrol byproducts are used in cosmetics, you know, and so I'd like to find some more information on what would be maybe natural cosmetics companies, you know, and maybe the reason that things might need to be reapplied is that if you make them last, you know, 48 hours, you sleep on your mascara for 48 hours and it's still there. Well, maybe it's because it's made out of some sort of like really obviously ugly non-organic compound. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to take our last break for the day and come back and cover a couple more things before we get out of here for the day. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be back right after this.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here. As we wrap it up for the day, now I was going to go on to something else that I had in the pipe, but I just got an email from one of our chatters, Lottie. Thank you for this, man. Right up what I was just talking about. And okay, boys, how does one say this? If you do something to try and attract women to you that ends up making the functioning bits not function so well, is it really worth it? Perfumes linked to genital abnormalities. And this is from menshealth.about.com. A Swedish study reporting their findings in December 2002 for Healthcare Without Harm has found high levels of chemicals called phthalates in some well-known perfumes and toiletries. Some of these chemicals, already blamed as contributing to infertility and previously shown by a U.S. study to cause genital abnormalities in mice and rats, were found in 34 toiletries. The ethyl hexyl phthalate was found, for example, in Chanel No. 5, in Eternity by Calvin Klein, Poison by Christian Dior, and Tresor by Lancome. Other forms of the chemical were found in Tommy Girl, Impulse Body Spray, Nivea Deo Compact, Ultra Sure Deodorant, Shockwaves Hair Mousse, and hairsprays by Vidal Sassoon, Pantene Pro-V Extra Hold. Genital abnormalities occur in 4% of male births. These include, oh boys, hold on to your package, undescended testicles, malformations in the urinary tract, hypospadias, a defect of the penis, prostate damage, reduced sperm production and mobility, Sertoli cell damage required to support sperm development, and Leydig cell tumors. The European Union has joined with other government regulatory agencies in viewing certain phthalates as potential hazards for human reproduction. In November 2002, the EU amended the Cosmetics Directive 76/768/EEC to order the removal of two phthalates because of their reproductive toxicity. This directive should be enacted in the near future. Wow. Again, vanity can be dangerous. Wow. That's really, really scary. And to think of the money that's spent on these products for these huge companies that really couldn't give a damn but making you feel less than perfect. I mean, I have a lot of problems with the fashion and cosmetics industry because I think that they prey on young women, and especially women in general, and more so these days with men than it used to be, is on the fact that, you know, you're imperfect. Well, you know what? I don't give a damn. I'm human. I'm as imperfect as I'm going to be, and that's what makes me me. And, you know, I feel really bad I feel sorry for women who, in general, who constantly are berated by, you know, there's just this barrage of, you know, you can't age, you can't have an imperfection, you have to smell this way, you have to do this, and you must be, you know, it's nuts. And then the idea that, you know, how much do they, you know, promote like these perfumes and these colognes as the big sex attractant? Well, you know, not worth a hill of beans if the unit ain't going to work, eh? Oh, boy. All right, folks. Quick programming note. Unfortunately, old Bob Kincaid's going to be a bit of a rerun tonight because there are tornadoes bearing down on where he is in Alabama. So it's looking like connecting is going to be a bit of an issue. So I believe that we're going to have a little bit of a blast from the past in the way of a former prayer meeting edition, if I've caught things right as they went by. And yes, Agnes, you're very right. Soap and water work really, really well. And one of our chatters is saying that they've got a guest suggestion for me on natural cosmetics. I'm very, very interested in that. I'd be very interested in that because, you know, again, do we need to be making this stuff out of petrochemicals all the time? You know, if it's got to be out there, does it have to be made with artificial things? Gail and I were in the shops the other day, and she was looking through the body wash thing, and we're looking through all these and checking the ingredients, and there's not a single thing on a grocery store shelf that isn't just loaded with chemicals. And most of them all say, you know, we're natural this, it's organic bounty that, and it's just a bunch of crap. You know? I think it didn't used to be this way, did it? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Well, I mean, but then there was crazy stuff like lead in eye makeup and stuff back, you know, decades ago. And you know, just nuts. I mean, you know, again, one of these things. I'm glad I'm a guy, and I'm and I'm glad that I don't have the desire to go dripping myself with an artificial musk smell of some other animal on my person. But that's just me. And I don't know. I some of this stuff is very, very worrying. The whole food list thing is really seriously suggest checking that out, because that is a really great guideline. Give you an idea of, you know, which ones to avoid first, because, you know, it has to come down to a balance of you know, your what you want in your diet and your budget, you know. And if you're trying to eat and shop green, you know, you have to make concessions, you have to make decisions, and this list I find would be very, very handy for making those decisions a whole lot clearer. And you know, if you have thoughts on any of this, drop me an email overnight. You know, maybe we should look into this, you know, a little bit more, because I mean, these are the, you know, it's not necessarily an environmental issue, but I mean, we're talking a serious public health issue here. You know, if we have an entire industry where people are applying carcinogens to their bodies each and every day, and unfortunately it's being self-regulated by the industry, I think maybe there needs to be a little bit more oversight in this area. So, I think we'll just kind of, you know, start wrapping things up with that. And thank you very much to Agnes Kincaid for producing today's show. Thanks to the News Ninjas and our mods for everything that they do, keeping things happening on the website. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming in the archives, the hardest working man in progressive radio. Go over there and drop a dime. He's still running his fundraiser. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for us. Thank you to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. And I think that pretty much... Oh, Peter Godbold, of course. Can never forget Peter. Could never forget Peter. Thanks for everything you do, mate, with the computers and everything else. So, as we say here every day on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. More poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood.
If ever I would stop.
This is the Quality News Network. An up and down day on Wall Street today as the Dow Jones declined more than 200 points after the opening bell, only to have stocks rebound afterwards. We'll have the closing numbers for you coming up later in our business block. The head of Walter Reed Army Medical Center has lost his job. The two-star general in charge of the medical facility where wounded soldiers are treated was relieved of his command today after recent media revelations of the inadequate treatment the soldiers received. Also, parts of a building are in disrepair. The Senate has changed its mind after floating a so-called trial balloon earlier today and now Bush's budget request for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars by nearly $20 billion. The president has requested $142 billion to fund the wars. In Afghanistan, the Taliban's military chief gave a rare interview to a British television station and claimed that he regularly communicates with Osama bin Laden. He also said in the spring an army of hundreds of suicide attackers is ready for the Taliban's upcoming offensive against NATO forces. The U.S. military said a Marine was killed in the Anbar province yesterday. At least 79 American forces were killed in the Iraq War in February. Also today in the Anbar province, a car bomb blast killed at least 5 people. One person was killed in Baghdad today when a bomb went off on a minibus. The jury is in the 7th day of deliberations in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today. He faces 5 perjury and obstruction charges in connection with the leak of a CIA officer's name. A tornado hit southern Missouri today. It destroyed businesses and homes. A 7-year-old girl was killed. Other tornadoes struck Kansas and Alabama. At least one person was killed in Alabama today. President Bush made a visit to the Gulf Coast to survey the region's recovery after Hurricane Katrina struck a year and a half ago. It was his first trip there in 6 months. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain told a television